You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear. Many of you know Axis deer is considered to be the best tasting venison on the planet. I've been hearing that for years. And that those deer cause some ecological harm. Well, Maui Nui Venison is bringing those Axis deer to the market. So you can get some fresh cuts and sticks shipped to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNuiVenison.com. Use promo code MeatEater for 20% off your order. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase.
It's a Meat-Eater podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Seafoam Motor Treatment, a proud podcast sponsor of Meat-Eater. Welcome to Meat-Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Giannis Poutelis, Brody Henderson, Chester Floyd, Seth Morris, Christine Sawicki, Hayden Samick, and Corey Calkins. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat-Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there's a prize. Meat-Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And each week here on Meat-Eater Trivia, we reveal a new stat. This week, we're looking at player performance in the conservation category. The top performer is Rick Hutton, who has gotten 75% of conservation questions right. But here is the asterisk. Rick has only had 8 questions asked in the conservation category. So if we forget about Rick and look at our more regular competitors, then we have Steve at the top with 64%, followed by Brody at 61%, Giannis at 56%, Cal at 55%, Sam James at 55%, and Hayden at 53%. They are our only players who get more than 50% of conservation questions right.
I think if Rick had more games under his belt, he would still be at the top.
For sure.
He knows a lot about that stuff.
As we've discussed before, Rick has one of the most interesting stat lines in trivia where he's like the highest performer in hunting and conservation, but our lowest performer in fishing and cooking. So
yeah,
Rick needs to work on those areas.
Knows what he likes.
Here's our 0%er question of the week. This is from episode 365, and the topic is gear. If you know the answer, you can shout it out. 5 states have a firearm on their state flag. Name one of those states.
Oh!
Yanni, you were on this episode.
I know. I can't
Michigan.
Recall.
Yeah. Michigan is a correct answer. That's one of them. You got 4 more.
Is Wyoming one?
Wyoming is one. You got 2 of them. 3 more to go.
New Jersey.
No.
Texas.
No.
Montana.
No.
Kentucky.
Arkansas.
Oklahoma.
No.
Missouri.
I'll just Alaska. Give them to you here.
Let's start alphabetically.
The incorrect answers that were given in that episode were California, Virginia, Tennessee, Wisconsin, New Hampshire, Texas, and Montana. The correct answers were Delaware, West Virginia, Michigan, Minnesota, and Wyoming. Those are the states that have a firearm on their flag. How long do you think it would have taken you to come up with the Delaware, West Virginia, and Minnesota?
Long as it takes to run through all 50 states.
Okay. We have some housekeeping to get to. In a previous game of trivia, I asked, what is the only subspecies of turkey in the World Slam that can't be hunted in America? The correct answer was oscillated, but Steve called me out for identifying oscillated turkeys as a subspecies when they are really their own species. So I looked it up, and Steve was right. Ocelated turkeys are their own species and do not fall under the umbrella of wild turkey subspecies that include Easterns, Merriam's, Osceola, Rio Grande, and Gould's. But the rest of the question remains accurate. Ocelated birds are the only turkeys in the World Slam that can't be hunted in the United States. Yanni, do you know that? Ocelated are their own species?
Yes.
Now, you haven't killed one, but you've probably come the closest to killing one by sort of planning a trip.
Multiple times.
We've
planned trips, and they've
not come to fruition.
Steve said it was a sight's issue. Is that like with firearms, right?
No, that's transportation of species. Yeah. No, okay. the last one that we planned, it didn't happen. We had it all set out, and then the guy that we were going to go with was like, oh, sorry, I didn't get tags for you guys.
Oh, that was the hang up?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep.
But so it sounded to me like he never really was going to get tags for us.
Yeah.
And it was going to be a CITES issue for us when he was like, yeah, come down anyway, shoot a turkey. And when we got to the, border, they're going to be like, no.
I mean, there was a lot of red flags with it that we didn't have when we were planning it.
Yanni, when you do eventually get another one working?
Yeah.
When you do eventually get one, are you going to like do a full mount of it?
No, sir.
What would you do? It's like a traditional tail fan.
I would just do a tail fan.
Okay.
Probably hang the spurs nearby it. I don't even know if those suckers have beards.
I don't know.
I know they have big old giant, very razor sharp spurs. But yeah, I'll maybe get a picture, you know, me and Steve and the guide, whoever else is there with my bird, put it on the wall.
Maybe Seth's wife can draw that for you then someday to commemorate it.
There you go.
Also, in a previous game, we had a multiple choice question about which world record fish is biggest. The choices were blue catfish, common carp, lake sturgeon, and alligator gar. The correct answer was alligator gar, but in the follow-up factoid, I said the world record weight for a lake sturgeon was 168 pounds. That was a number I got from the IGFA record book, but they don't take into account weights of fish that have been speared, which is how many of the continent's biggest lakers have been harvested. So that puts the world record for all methods at 212 pounds, which was speared in Lake Winnebago in 2010, but that's still second to the world record alligator gar, which is 279 pounds. Now, the Shelby Index for this round is a 4, so our winner should get about 8 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Suckers.
Now, Brody, you were saying I looked cold. Seth is dressed up to the same amount of warmth. Does he not look as cold?
Like a full-on outer layer on, and then like another one behind you.
So is Hayden, Brody.
Well, me and you have stocking hats on.
Corey. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
maybe
that's
it's your beard that makes you look like you're cold.
I look cold. Seth with just the mustache is not.
Seth looks hardy.
Christina has an actual coat on.
Yeah. Mm. I was cold, and then I got in here, and now I'm very hot.
Question one, the topic is fishing, and this will be multiple choice. This first great question comes to us via Seth Daughters. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. According to a 2016 U.S. Fish and Wildlife Survey, which of these things do anglers spend the most money on? Is it licenses, food and lodging, books and magazines, or transportation? Again, according to a 2016 survey, which of these things do anglers spend the most money on? Licenses, food and lodging, books and magazines, or transportation? And these things are all specific to fishing. It's not just like they went to, you know, Mexico and stayed at an all-inclusive resort.
And while you guys think about that, I'm going to step out of the office and turn on the fan in the podcast studio.
Okay.
I feel like that's kind of a trick question.
You think so?
Well,
dude, it is never a trick question.
No, I know that, but like,
unless it is,
it's like I would say like define this.
That's what I would say. I know what you're getting at, Chester. I agree about the specificity of.
I could maybe help you out if you have some specific questions. I could maybe provide some specific details. I looked at the study.
Define travel.
Expenses. The transportation?
Yeah,
so this wouldn't be like the gas you put in your boat, but it's like the gas you put in your pickup or a plane ticket you buy. Things specific to getting to the destination where you're going to start fishing. Corey, what do you got?
Define food and lodging.
Food and lodging is what you spend on a trip. You got to go out to the restaurant each night. You need to pay for a hotel room or a camping spot. That is food and lodging.
Case of Busch Light?
I suppose if that is specific to the fishing trip, then yes.
Or three.
I don't think you'd categorize it under transportation, books and magazines. Maybe a license. It's that demanding of an item. Does everybody have an answer? Again, your choices are licenses, food and lodging, books and magazines, transportation.
I can tell you which one I spend the most money on.
Okay. See if you agree with the rest of America. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hayden saying transportation. Christine saying transportation. Brody saying transportation. Corey saying food and lodging. Chester saying books and magazines. Oh. Now, Seth, or Chester, we've had this issue before. You shouldn't write A, B, C, D. You should write a whole thing. You wrote C, which would be the third choice.
I'll let him have the one he wants.
Yeah, what did you want? I wanted food and lodging.
Okay, Chester says B, and lodging.
Very suspicious to me.
Books and magazies, that's the worst answer.
I'll give you that, Chester. Books and magazines is not the correct answer. We have Seth and Giannis saying food and lodging.
Now, before you answer this, mm-hmm. I wasn't paying attention, so maybe you, you said
what do you
it.
Got?
Is this like during the course of a year or?
This would be like specific to a fishing trip. Like you're going to Canyon Ferry to catch some perch. How do you spend money? Well, maybe you do a five-day trip to go to Colorado to go fly fishing for a specific hatch. It's the money you spend on that fishing.
Seems very vague, man.
The correct answer is food and lodging.
What? Dude.
American Angler spent about $46.1 billion on fishing in 2016. Food and lodging was responsible for 17% of that, which is equal to $7.8 billion. Transportation accounted for $5 billion. Licenses accounted for $600 million. And books and magazines accounted for $100
million. It makes sense because now I'm thinking about all like the places in upstate New York who like have only money because of the tourism around fishing. I should have thought of that.
Question two, the topic is gear. Bass Pro agreed to purchase this competitor with 134 stores in 2020, but called off the deal less than a year later.
Ooh. Scourge.
When was this? What year?
Bass Pro agreed to purchase this competitor with 134 stores in 2020, but called off the deal less than a year later. Topic is gear. We had a lot of people writing answers before I finished the question, and then the erasers came out. Again, Bass Pro agreed to purchase this competitor with 134 stores in 2020, but called off the deal less than a year later.
Ooh.
You got it?
It's between two.
Okay.
And yeah. It's 50-50 shot.
Does everybody have an answer?
No.
Okay. Yanni, it seems as though it's not down to two for him quite yet. One more time here. Bass Pro agreed to purchase this competitor with 134 stores in 2020, but called off the deal less than a year later. Giannis, how we doing?
I will tell you this, though.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'll tell you to you after you.
Tell me, are one of my answers right?
Not going to give you any. No. Not going to help you at all, Yanni. I think he has four answers written down. Now he's going to start doing some scribbling.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to take that one out.
How many you got on there?
I got four.
Oh.
Multiple choice.
I think. Can I say this?
No. You can just wait a minute,
yeah.
Chester. Okay. Giannis, we're waiting on you.
You're waiting on me?
We're waiting on
Everybody
you.
Everybody else has an answer?
They all look confident too, Yanni. No pressure.
Whoa,
Whoa.
Bass Pro agreed to purchase this competitor with 134 stores, but called off the deal less than a year later. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hayden saying Gander Mountain, crossed out Shields. Christine saying Shields. Brody saying Sportsman's Warehouse. Corey saying Gander Mountain. Chester saying Sportsman's Warehouse. Seth saying Sportsman's Warehouse. Giannis saying Sportsman's Warehouse. The correct answer is Sportsman's Warehouse.
Oh, baby. Hayden, I thought you were going to be
wrong. Me too. I was so close to putting Gander Mountain.
Here's why I kind of knew I was wrong as soon as I wrote it. I think they just plumb went out of business in like 2016.
No, Gander Mountain was actually purchased by Camping World, who has been part of a trivia question in the past. Hmm. So Gander Mountain still sort of exists.
Oh.
I feel like they're on life support, but they're now part of the Camping World brand.
You know, it's a much different experience going into Cabela's these days than it was before Bass. It's
not as magical. Not as magical.
Not as magical, no.
Chester, what thoughts did you have on this question that you were reluctant to share?
Well, it was like what Hayden said. I know there's a couple of them still open, but I thought they pretty much went out of business, and that was prior to 2020, so that helped me write down Sportsman's Warehouse.
In December of 2020, Sportsman's Warehouse agreed to a merger with the Great American Outdoors Group, which is the parent company of Bass Pro. But just under a year later, the acquisition was called off when feedback from the FTC made both companies believe that the deal wouldn't be approved. The FTC competition director said the $785 million transaction would have hurt consumers through increased prices and reduced offerings.
Look at the FTC looking out for you. Go government.
But only if only they had done that deal probably like 5 years sooner, because I'm sure if Bass Pro hadn't already purchased Cabela's, it would have worked out for Sportsman's Warehouse.
Yep.
But they were a couple years too late.
But look at it how it is now. Who in this room would rather go into a Bass Pro Cabela's versus a Sportsman's to get gear or get advice or info?
Are we assuming that Sportsman's actually has stuff in stock? Or?
Yes.
I was going to say, currently, for fishing stuff, Bass Pro or Cabela's.
Yeah.
Shields. Yeah, but who needs to, like, eat lunch and look at some, like, rotting bass swimming around in an aquarium?
Yeah,
you know?
No one needs to do that.
Oh, that's totally part of the experience.
I'm just saying, like their roasted nuts that they have at Shields.
Oh, roasted nuts.
Yeah.
Question three, the topic is woodsmanship. What type of man-made structure is often referred to as a drowning machine? What type of man-made structure is often referred to as a drowning machine? Quick answer from Hayden and Brody. Rest of the room has yet to come up with anything.
Can I draw a picture of it?
Specific. The question, be specific. If you thought the answer was white-tailed deer, you'd need to put white-tailed deer. Deer would not be good enough. Again, the question is, what type of man-made structure is often referred to as a drowning machine?
Be specific.
Okay. Yeah, you should put down white-tailed deer for your answer. See if that works.
With a hyphen?
Won't get into it.
What's the topic again?
Woodsmanship. What type of man-made structure is often referred to as a drowning machine?
Oh, I think
now, Brody,
I know.
Do you know this, or are you just taking an educated guess?
I'll argue with you if I don't get it right. Okay.
Me too.
Like really, really argue with you. Because I have some bona fides.
Okay. Folks have asked me before who sits in Steve's seat when he's not here, because they feel as though someone takes his argument.
No, I would never sit in Steve's seat. Sure. I would feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
Someone has to take up that niche, though, in the arguing space. Does everybody have an answer?
I do.
Chester?
Corey knows this one.
You need to tell me what a drowning machine is.
Am I going to be kicking myself?
I don't know.
Brody? Yep.
You think I am? I can't think of anything.
All right, does everybody else have an answer? Hayden, are you drawing?
Yes.
Okay, so everyone's ready. Go ahead and reveal your answers. Hayden saying top water dam. Christine without an answer. Brody saying
that could be it, too,
bridge.
To be honest.
Corey saying, what's that say?
Clack a craft.
Chester without an answer. Seth saying raft. Giannis saying low head dam. The correct answer is low head dam or diversion dam. I've never heard it called a topwater.
Well, I knew how to describe what it was. I didn't know the technical term for it. Okay. I drew a very good diagram.
You did. You drew exactly what happens, but they're not called topwater.
I'm still going to argue that bridge should be included in there, too.
But nobody calls them drowning machines. Again, this is
I've heard people call them drowning machines.
Okay. Not according to other folks.
But I think we would call that a...
What other folks?
You see this, like engineers refer to them as this.
Engineers.
The DNR in Iowa refers to them as this.
Okay. Okay.
I could see like an argument for being out west here with the bridges because that's
even back east, man. Canoes get wrapped around bridges all the time.
Mm-hmm. But I think a bridge is more of a strainer when it gets to be dangerous to humans.
Low head dams drown about 50 people each year in the United States. This happens when someone goes over a low head dam and gets caught in the recirculating currents below the surface. A task force consisting of government officials and nonprofits is looking to use AI technology to crawl satellite images and identify every low head dam in America. This would theoretically lead to better signage at those sites and prevent more deaths. Question four, the topic is hunting. This next great question comes to us via Wayne Ratton. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. According to the Wild Sheep Foundation, there are two subspecies of thin-horned sheep. Name both of them. According to the Wild Sheep Foundation, there are two subspecies of thin-horned sheep. I need you to name them both. Quick answer from Hayden, Giannis, Brody, Christine. The other side of the room, though, Seth, Chester, Corey, still thinking.
Nope, not thinking.
Seth's got it. Christine, you got this one?
Hang on.
Okay.
Let me think again.
Again, looking for both subspecies of thin-horned sheep. Giannis, you had a quick answer, but that grunt made it seem like you're not real confident.
I'm pretty confident.
Okay, I read you wrong then.
I can't help you.
Help me.
What's the dilemma, Christine? Do you have like five answers written down?
I know some sheeps, but okay. Well, I keep showing Hayden just so if it's completely off, which it is.
Again, looking for the two subspecies of thin horn, according to the Wild Sheep Foundation.
You might want to help her now, because later in her current position at Meteor, she might be able to help you.
I had a rough morning, folks.
Chester, how we doing?
We'll be talking.
Even that,
not
even
very
that
good,
aside.
Man. I'm just going to give me 1 second here.
Okay. I think we're waiting on you.
You're going to need me one day.
White ones and black ones.
I think.
The real woolly ones. Bro, you would have gotten in big trouble for saying what you just did if old Mr. Brunella was sitting in here. Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah,
Chester. HR's ears perked up over here.
Chester, go ahead. Chester just got a tip.
And reveal your answers. We have Hayden saying mouflon and doll. Christine saying mouflon. Brody saying doll and stone. Corey saying dolls and stone. Chester saying mouflon and doll. Seth saying stone and doll. Giannis saying doll and fannin. The correct answer is doll sheep and stone sheep. The room did pretty well.
What if Fannin's a mix between the two. So
now here we go. The doll sheep is named after naturalist William Healy Doll, who documented the animal in 1884. The stone sheep is named after A.J. Stone, who documented the animal in 1897. And some groups recognize a third subspecies, the Fannin sheep, which is named after John Fannin. But most biologists consider the Fannin sheep just a darker color variant of the doll sheep.
And
Giannis, the Wild Sheep Foundation does not list them as a thin horn subspecies, so we're not going to give it to you, but that was a deep cut putting down Fannin.
So there's no thin horn species like on the other side of the world?
Not on Wild Sheep Foundation's website. Unless they don't, maybe they just don't care about Asia. I don't know.
A mouflon is not...
not a thin horn.
I wonder if that's good. Are mouflons like kind of like domestic-ish? Like, is that like kind of like a feral hog versus a boar?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was...
They do live in the wild someplace in this world, but...
Yeah, Asiatic, I think.
In Texas.
Question five, the topic is cooking. This burger was invented in Kentucky 60 years ago when a diner started placing bean cans on patties while they cooked. Again, this burger was invented in Kentucky 60 years ago when a diner started placing bean cans on patties while they cooked. A confident room, as we learned before, 7% of our questions are answered by everyone in the room correctly. This may be one of those 7%ers. Everybody have an answer. Go ahead and reveal your answer.
I didn't look at it.
Okay. We have Hayden saying smash. Christine saying smash. Brody saying smash. Corey saying smash. Chester saying smash. Chester, what did you cross out or write down?
I just completely didn't even listen to your question very well. And I just wrote like hobo burger because of beans. But you said place it on it while they're cooked. I make these all the time. Smash
Seth
burger.
Seth and Giannis saying smash burger. Everybody got it. The correct answer is smash burger. The restaurant that started this craze was called Dairy Cheer, which markets itself the home of the smash burger. If you want to learn how to cook one for yourself, then go to themeateater.com and check out Danielle Pruitt's recipe called Venison Smash Burgers. Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
In last place, tied up, are Hayden and Christine with 1 point apiece.
Thanks for nothing.
Coming up next, we have Corey, Chester, and Brody, all tied with 3 points apiece. And tied for first place are Giannis Poutelis and Seth Morris with 4 points.
Mm.
Good work,
nice,
Seth.
Spring is a great time to do something with your family. Do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside, planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing, taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times, I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance, and man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Hey man, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if you've learned anything, it's that there is always a catch. So, when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, well, what's the catch? But it turns out there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meateater. That's mintmobile.com/meateater. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/meateater.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Get incredible deals on premium cuts from ButcherBox. Deals this good are hard to come by, even at the grocery store. It's the ultimate convenience. It's delivered right to your doorstep, meaning less trips to the grocery store because you're prepared. You got a freezer loaded with a bunch of recipe-ready cuts of meat. It makes making dinner at night so much easier. The stuff is well-packaged, easy to thaw. It just encourages good home cooking. You'll have a hard time finding this kind of savings at the grocery store, and you'll get exclusive member deals, recipe inspiration, guides, tips, and hacks, and free shipping. Today, ButcherBox is giving our listeners free ground beef for life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/meateater, and then use code meateater to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/meateater. Make sure to use code meateater.
Question six. The topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us via Matt Krause. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What mammal's silhouette is shown on the current National Wildlife Federation logo? What mammal's silhouette is shown on the current National Wildlife Federation's logo? Nobody has come up with an answer yet. Yanni thinks he has it. Rest of the room, not very confident.
How specific?
I need you to be specific.
So it's got to be white-tailed.
If you think the answer is white-tailed deer, I need you to say white-tailed deer, not just deer. Yanni's the only one who's come up with an answer. Can you other folks picture it, though? Do you have any idea what it looks like? Christine says yes. Brody, how well do you know this logo?
I'm drawing a total blank.
Okay. Looking for the mammal's silhouette that's shown on the current National Wildlife Federation logo.
NWF.
NWF. A mammal's silhouette.
I can picture the individual state ones.
Okay. Don't know if that'll be helpful.
No, I don't think it will.
Most of the room
sticking with my gut
has yet to come up with an answer. Seems like you're going to know it or not know it.
Hold on a second.
Looking for the mammal's silhouette.
Yeah.
Yanni, how confident are you?
Well, I don't think this will give anybody a tip, but there's another one that's WWF.
Okay.
That I believe also has a mammal's silhouette.
Yes.
That's a panda.
I'll tell you when I went through this round of trivia with my wife, she answered panda, realizing afterwards that that's the WWF.
Oh, I'm changing my answer.
WWF? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, did you have panda down?
I did.
Listen, that's no good.
Corey is the one who said it's a panda.
So you say a National Wild Federation.
But is it a red panda?
It's a panda subspecies.
Sorry, everybody but Yanni.
Does everybody have an answer?
Nope.
No.
I hate this.
You can just put down panda for fun.
I did have one.
You can just put down panda.
Just to be a team player?
Yeah.
I'm here to kick ass, bud. I can't believe I just got a answer out of you.
Damn.
That was way too much info, Spencer.
I thought it was all put out there once Corey said that they had a panda.
Yeah, he did.
But
you corroborated.
It felt safe to let him know. Now, what
just
happened?
You just told me that Shelby got it wrong.
What just happened over here with Corey and Seth?
No, damn thing.
What I gathered was Seth put down a non-mammal, to which Corey said, hey, it needs to be a mammal.
Nope.
Brody, are you ready?
Yes.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hayden saying grizzly bear.
Ooh.
Christine saying black bear. Brody saying grizzly. Corey saying elk. Chester saying bison. Seth saying bison. Giannis saying dolphin.
I was thinking whale might have been it.
Nobody got it. The correct answer is raccoon.
Good for the
National
raccoon.
Wildlife Federation has had six logos since 1936.
Trash panda.
The first three featured a bald eagle. In the 1990s, the organization switched to a different logo that featured a deer and an eagle. And in 2016, the group updated their logo to the current iteration, which shows their mascot, Ranger Rick, the raccoon.
Spencer, I did write down bald eagle.
I thought
I didn't quite pay attention to the mammal thing. Okay.
Question seven. The topic is biology. Brine shrimp are more commonly known by this marketing nickname.
Really?
Brine shrimp are more commonly known by this marketing nickname. Brody and Giannis think they know it.
No.
Brine shrimp?
Okay, brine shrimp. Brine shrimp are more commonly known by this marketing nickname. Giannis, on the last question, you were closer with your first answer, panda, than you were with dolphin. Didn't work out, though.
Mm-mm.
Brine shrimp, more commonly known by this marketing nickname.
Giannis, more commonly known to who?
Everybody. Giannis, do you have this one right?
I think so.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
I think so.
Christine, do you have an answer?
Yes.
Okay. I think everyone...
There's not a certain group of people that might be more familiar with the name you're looking for.
Not going to help you out anymore.
Like Midwesterners?
We've had plenty of help this game. Hayden, are you ready?
Yeah.
Christine, are you ready?
Humans under 10.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, Oscar probably knows this.
Just do it.
People that work in the HR department of their company.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hayden saying sweet shrimp. Christine without an answer.
Ooh.
Brody saying water fleas. Corey saying prawns. Chester saying cocktail shrimp. Seth saying prawns. Giannis saying popcorn. Nobody got it.
Oh, wow.
The correct answer is sea monkeys. The sea monkeys marketing name was developed in 1957, which is 1 year after ant farms became a novelty pet. Sea monkeys were initially sold as a product called Instant Life and were available for just 49 cents. They were intensely marketed to kids, with the creator claiming that he purchased 3.2 million pages of comic book ads each year in the 1960s.
I wanted a little sea monkey farm when I was a child. Never got one.
Okay. Did anybody here have sea monkeys?
No, there's a great South Park episode revolving around sea monkeys that always reminds me of.
Seen it before. Question 8, the topic is fishing. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Brett Seffel. For sending this great question, Brett is going to get a book signed by Steve. According to the USGS, there are 9 states where less than 1% of the state is covered in water. Name 3 of those states. According to the USGS, there are 9 states where less than 1% of the state is covered in water. Name 3 of those states.
Spencer, what'd you say the Shelby Index on this round was?
It's a 4. So we're winners should get 8, but I think we've had a couple back-to-back, maybe back-to-back questions where nobody got it right. It's going to hurt the room's score. Phil, how do you think you'd be doing in this round?
I'm always like a 2.
Okay.
I think almost every episode is like a 2. Yeah.
How's the room doing? Do folks have 3 states written down?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Seth.
You said there was 9 of them?
9 of them that are less than 1% number, I feel like. Water. I need 3 of those 9. Christine.
Good.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hayden saying Wyoming, Nevada, New Mexico. Christine saying Kansas, Oklahoma, Nevada. Brody saying Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada. Corey saying Hawaii, Kansas, Texas. Chester saying Arizona, California, Nevada. Seth saying New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona. Giannis saying Nevada, New Mexico, and Kansas. The 9 states are New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, Kansas, Nevada, Nebraska, Iowa, Wyoming, and West Virginia. I think the room did pretty well. According to the USGS, the driest state is New Mexico, where just 0.2% of the state is covered in water. That's followed by Arizona at 0.3%, Colorado at 0.4%, Kansas at 0.6%, Nevada, Nebraska, Iowa, and Wyoming at 0.7%, and West Virginia at 0.8%.
Most surprised that with Arizona, with the big river and reservoir that it holds.
Not enough to make up for all that desert.
Mm-hmm.
Phil, we have 2 questions left. Give us a scoreboard update.
Looks like eliminated from the game are Christine and Hayden. Christine having 1 point, Hayden having 2 points. Still in the game, though, are Chet and Corey with 3 points apiece, Brody with 4, and Giannis and Seth tied up with 5 points.
Who do we have at the top with 5 points?
Giannis and Seth.
Giannis and Seth. Question 9. The topic is hunting.
Let's limit the walleye fishing questions, okay?
Okay. Question 9. The topic is hunting. What nonprofit stopped taking critically ill children hunting in 1996 due to criticisms from animal rights groups? What nonprofit stopped taking critically ill children hunting in 1996 due to criticisms from animal rights groups? Quick answer from Seth. He's got a little confidence being in first place here.
Seth has the the stare, the mean look going on today.
It's just the first thing that popped in my head, and I know if I sit here and stew over it, I'm going to be erasing and writing. And
Yanni is currently stewing. Hasn't come up with an answer. Rest of the room looking confident. Here it is again, Yanni. What nonprofit stopped taking critically ill children hunting in 1996 due to criticisms from animal rights groups? Brody changing his answer.
No, I'm just
okay.
Making sure you don't get me on something.
Okay. Does everybody have an answer? Corey?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hayden saying, ooh, make a wish. Christine saying, make a wish. Brody saying, make a wish. Corey saying, big brother, big sister. Chester saying, big brother, big sisters. Seth saying, make a wish. Giannis saying, Shriners Hospital. The correct answer is make a wish. The Make a Wish Foundation stopped granting wishes that involved hunting, firearms, archery, or anything that could cause an animal injury in the 1990s. In response to this, three new organizations were formed that did just that. The Hunt of a Lifetime Foundation, Catch a Dream Foundation, and Life Hunts Foundation. Other wish restrictions include no vehicles, no homes, and no cash. Phil, we have one question left. Give us a scoreboard update.
Yeah, so now it's Seth Morris in first place with 6. But hot on his trail are Giannis and Brody with 5 points apiece.
Okay. We need Seth to get it wrong, Giannis and Brody to get it right to go to overtime. Question 10. The topic is woodsmanship. This is an audio question. Phil is going to play you 20 seconds of an animal's vocalization. You need to tell me what animal is making that sound. Take it away, Phil.
Heard that before.
You have? Corey
has
heard it.
That's a hint from Corey, who I think has lived in Montana his whole life.
I grew up in Florida.
Black Panther!
Phil, can you play it one more time?
No, I just got out of it.
Can you put it on the headset? I just I feel like I need to make sure.
Seth, if you get this right, you take the outright victory. How do you feel about your answer?
I don't feel great about it, honestly.
Okay.
Brody,
Yanni, you guys
you
need
won,
to get
Seth?
This right.
Before?
Just once. Yeah.
I'm pulling for you, Seth.
Me too.
If I could go back and make this a walleye
I'm
question,
write down
I'd do
Panda.
It. I would do it. Brody, how do you feel about your answer?
I feel like if I'm right, then I'm right. Like, I've heard that noise, like, in the last house we lived in Colorado.
Ooh.
There was an animal made that noise very frequently near our house.
Mm.
So, and I know what that animal was, but I could be wrong. Like,
big hint, Yanni.
He eats those animals
about
every
your answer?
Year. Pretty good.
Okay.
I think that I've also heard it from
is everybody
a
ready?
House that I lived in.
What state?
At one time. Not going to say.
Christine?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hayden saying bobcat. Christine saying fox. Brody saying red fox. Corey saying mountain lion. Chester saying gray fox. Seth saying bobcat. Giannis saying red fox.
Oh, man, Seth.
I know.
We have a
so
correct answer.
Nothing,
the correct answer is mountain lion. making Seth our winner because Brody Giannis got it wrong. Corey did get it right, though.
Ooh, man.
It did sound like a fox.
Now, there's no disputing this. It was on a trail camera. The mountain lion was standing right there screaming. That was a female mountain lion who was looking for a mate. It was captured on a trail camera in the Angeles National Forest. 12 days prior, a male mountain lion visited the area and sprayed urine at the site. 3 days after the female showed up screaming, the same male and female were spotted on camera together.
Oh.
Seth, with his second ever Meat Eater trivia victory.
Way to go, Seth.
Well done, Seth.
Thank you.
Happens next is you get to choose where the $500 donation from Meat Eater goes. So what's it going to be?
It's a no-brainer because I've been thinking about it basically nonstop.
Since the last time you won?
It's like the time of year that's coming.
I think last time you won, you had a similar mindset and you said that you were going to donate to NWTF.
Yeah, I'm doing
that
again.
Is that where you're going? NWTF. Seth is at his, he's so sharp coming up on turkey season. That's why he wins trivia this
time. I must have won like a year ago.
Don't forget about those walleye, Seth.
Too, oh, I know. Spring walleye fishing, but gobbles have been haunting my dreams.
Well done, Seth. Now we're going to throw it to Hayden here quick before we get out of here. He has some news to share that's relevant to the Meat Eater universe.
Recently, a friend of, he's a friend of mine, and he's also a big hunter, angler, Lewis Johnston. He was injured in the line of duty. Lewis is a state, or is a highway patrol trooper. And yeah, he was working and really suffered a kind of terrible accident. I've been talking to him a little bit, and he's, getting back and, getting well, but his family could use some support right now. And, I think everybody here in this room will join me in wishing Lewis well in his road to recovery.
And he listens to Meat Eater Trivia.
He does.
So, Lewis, we hope you get better soon. That's it for this episode. Join us next week for more of Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit seafoamworks.com to learn more. Hey, if you follow wildlife news at all, you're probably aware that the island of Maui has an incredible abundance of axis deer, so much so that they're causing ecological damage. Well, Maui Nui venison is thinning out some of those axis deer herds and delivering venison sticks and fresh cuts to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNuiVenison.com. Use promo code MeatEater for 20% off your order.